Welcome to the Scott King Show, where we simplify complex marketing matters to make you a smarter marketer. And now, here is your host and my dad, Scott King.
This episode of the Scott King Show is sponsored by Ribbon. Ribbon is a digital gifting platform for businesses. Ribbon makes it easy to buy, send, and track digital gifts like gift cards and virtual Visa. Marketers use Ribbon to integrate gifts into campaigns to boost response rates and accelerate customer acquisition and purchases. Market researchers use Ribbon to automate fulfillment of incentives for surveys and research. To learn more and sign up for a free plan, visit ribbon.net. That's RYBBON.net. Digital gifting made easy. Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining. This is Scott. In this episode, I talk with Melanie Offenlock. Melanie was a successful marketing executive at a large firm and started trying out social media because she wanted to learn the emerging channels. So with that, she started with Twitter and felt a void. So she wanted to tweet about something else, and she started talking about wine. 1,600 followers later, she decided to start a blog at DallasWineChick.com. So she takes us through her journey of why she started the blog, how she started it, and some of the influencers that helped her along the way, and then really about, you know, what she does with wine blogging in her part time. So please welcome Melanie Offenlock, Dallas Wine Chick. Well, hey, Melanie, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me.
We are joined here by Melanie Offenlock, who is Dallas Wine Chick and CEO of Offenlock Consulting.
That is correct.
Cool. So what are you doing in the consulting business?
I have just started my own consulting agency with a goal of making B2B technology companies tell their stories in a compelling way.
Sounds good. I know a lot of them that need that kind of work. I kind of want to take it back to how you got here and explain, you know, to our audience a little bit about who you are. You were a successful marketing exec, and then you started this blog about wine. Why wine? Why'd you do that?
You know, I was a bit of the accidental blogger. I was working for a very large marketing conglomerate, and I saw the social media trend that was coming. And so I got on Twitter one day, and it was very generic. I think I was at Melanie Zero, and I started talking about marketing. And I went back about 45 days later, and I realized the people that followed me worked for me, which totally negated the social aspect of it. And at that moment, I decided I was just going to start talking about something that, while I love marketing, I love wine more. And the wine community, especially on Twitter, is very, very supportive. And so I just went down the path of trying to figure it out. And when I hit 1,600 followers on Twitter, which I never thought would happen because I did not have 1,600 relatives, anyway, that were technology savvy. And that was the point where I said I'd start the blog. And that was almost 7 years ago.
So 1,600 was the mark.
1,600 was the mark.
Does that number have any significance at all?
Absolutely not. I just did not think I could attain it.
Huh. And then what are you at now?
On Twitter, I'm close to 12,000. On the blog, I have about 34,000 readers.
Okay. So you started the blog after the 1,600 Twitter?
I did. And that was the point.
That was why you started the blog.
I figured that if I had enough to say about wine where 1,600 people would respond in a compelling fashion, that there was a need for the blog. There was also the Wine Bloggers Conference was coming up. And I wanted to be a part of that because I've met so many people online and on social, and I wanted to meet them.
What happens when you meet one of your Twitter buddies at the wine meeting?
You know, you never know, right? I remember my husband in the beginning of this was saying, you know, how do you have friends online? It just doesn't make sense. But in general, everyone that I have come to interact with on Twitter in a meaningful way that I've met, I'd be friends with in real life.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it's ever wine, right? So that's a piece of it too.
Yeah. Is that over how many glasses of wine? Like, you're really friendly after multiple glasses of wine.
Well, if you do not do the Wine Bloggers Conference the right way, you will not be standing by the end of it.
Yeah.
You try hundreds of wines over a 3-day period.
Yeah. I did a wine tour once and did it completely wrong, right? Because at the end of the night, I couldn't even eat dinner.
You know, I actually have there's a how not to do Napa on my blog, which was my own personal experience.
Okay. We'll link to that. That's got to be an interesting read because, you know, we all like wine, right? Different tastes and different types, but we all like it. So you started playing with Twitter just, you know, as an experiment. Were you missing something at work, or did you think that, hey, I'll just learn privately and learn how to apply it at work, or what's the relation?
Well, you know, I think, especially in today's marketing changing world, if you are an executive at a company, especially in a marketing role, you need to figure out quickly what the next tide is going to be. And that may not need to be the most public experience. And so I just figured that it was something that I had to learn. It was something that I had to do. And if I wanted to be relevant in the future, it was just an investment of time I needed to make.
And you felt that way. Why? Like, because you felt fear of maybe not knowing how, like, the new tools worked, or, you know, you wanted to make sure that you could incorporate that to maybe what you're doing at work, or?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of both. You know, I worked for one of the largest agencies in the world, and that was a big part of an integrated marketing strategy, and social was a big part of that. And I think people were trying to figure out, I think that's when you saw lots of titles like social media guru, or, you know, those very specific titles. A lot of those titles don't exist anymore. You might have digital, but you don't have someone that is usually in charge of these large companies and these large agencies of, I'm just going to do social.
Yeah. I think if you have a title that's social media guru, it automatically tells you that you are not. Because, you know, anybody with a big online presence, I mean, they kind of speak for themselves, right? They have a lot of pull. And now we have influencer marketing, right? So now companies are looking to influencers
exactly.
on how to, you know, give them, for instance, wine or some type of incentive so they continue to market. So, like, you seem to be a wine influencer in a marketing. You know, do you get free stuff?
I do. I was just named the top 67th wine blogger on the planet. And I have had just amazing experiences. Anytime that a winemaker comes through town here in Dallas, I have the chance to sit down with them if they have time on their calendar and they're making time for media. I've been sent to Spain. I've been sent to Paso Robles. I've been sent all over the world with free trips, with distributors and wine companies that want they want the coverage and they want the distribution. Scott, I think I showed you when you came in the number of wine samples that I received yesterday. And, you know, it's fabulous. It's a little overwhelming at times. And, you know, you want to make sure that you taste everything and you want to make sure that you get back to them. I'm not a negative blogger on my blog, but if I don't like the wine, I will always let the PR person know that I won't be writing about it.
Oh, that's good. And I mean, that speaks from experience. Yeah, that's
right.
The right thing to do. But if you're overwhelmed, I'm just up the road. It's
okay.
Okay.
Well, if it wasn't, you know, if it was not so early in the morning, we definitely could open some
yeah,
of these.
If it was
later. It might be a very different interview.
Yeah. Well, hello, Bogart. How are you? So Bogart the cat is crawling on the table, so he's checking this stuff out too. So in terms of wine, what do people ask you about wine?
You know, I think there's so much fear, and the wine industry as a whole is seen to not be friendly to consumers. And people ask me the basics, you know, what should I drink? How do I go on a business dinner and order something and not order the wrong thing? And I think the important thing to realize is that a good wine is a wine that you like. A bad wine is one that you don't. And when I started the blog way back when, or actually right before I started the blog, I had a great aunt, Stella. And Stella was 85 years old, and she liked to drink pink, fizzy, white stuff. And I went on a mission for a year. And I decided that I was going to change her opinion in wine. And I try. Sorry for the cat. And I tried for a year. And one day I woke up and I thought, gosh, what is wrong with me? Why am I trying to make someone who absolutely loves something try something else that she doesn't like? And from that was the moment from with the blog, the theme was, I'm just going to write about my experience with wine and I'm going to write about the lifestyle of it. I'm not going to tell you what you should like and what you shouldn't, because who am I to do that?
Right. And I think there's, I mean, that's probably why there's so many varieties, right? Because, and then your tastes will differ, right? Depending on what region you live in. And yes, I'm sure you could take us in all types of directions. But so if people ask you about wine and you tell them certain answers, who do you ask about wine? Like, who's like a couple of go-to people that that you seek advice from?
Gosh, there's so many good ones out there. You know, it's really just a matter of reading. I mean, there's some incredible people out there that have been writing for a very, very long time. Karen McNeil, who did the Wine Bible, is fantastic. And there's a lot of really, really good and really strong people like Andrea Robinson, for example, who actually came out of Dallas. And, you know, they continually up their game and they've got great advice. I go to classes. I read a ton. As you can see, there's a lot of wine books behind me. And you're never done learning with wine. That's the fun part.
Oh, cool. So you're Dallas wine chick. I thought women didn't like being called chicks. Like, why'd you pick that? Or am I wrong?
No, I thought there was a little bit of a swagger with that. I didn't see it as being derogative at all. And people remember it. And in marketing, you obviously want to be memorable. You know, I've been lucky in this market that there aren't, or at the time, were not a lot of independent wine bloggers or wine writers. They were all affiliated with big publications. And so that gave me a unique voice.
Did having Dallas in your name help or hurt you, you think? Because we're not really the wine region.
You know, it helps me because people, distributors and wine companies want to get to the Texas market because we're always in the top three of people that drink wine. So that helped me. What didn't help me was that people assumed, including Texas producers, that I would write about their Texas wines. And that was not the case. I write about the wines that I experience and I try, and there's some good Texas wines, but I was not the advocate for all Texas wines.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're quite a bit different. I mean, I've tried a few, but
they're getting better.
I definitely prefer outside of Texas. Texas barbecue, yes.
I'll let you try a few that you might gravitate toward, I promise.
So when people contact you about wine, you know, what do they ask for? Like, do you get like comments on your blog? Do they have specific questions? What is the Twitter chatter on Dallas Wine Chick?
Gosh, I do get a lot of questions. Like, I get friends that send me pictures of wine lists and saying, what should I order? Kind of the in real life people.
Like they're at dinner, yeah, and they text you. And what if you're not available?
They understand I'm not going to be around 24/7.
You should charge for that.
You know, when it's your brand and it's fun and you're not out to, you know, I pay for the school tuition and our, you know, everything with the other job, which I love, but this is my passion. And I don't want to narrow my passion in any way.
That's cool. So shifting gears on marketing. So we know what people ask you about wine. And so you're doing this marketing consulting. When they call you, what do they ask you for? Is it kind of a common denominator or is it all across the board? What are they looking for?
Well, they know that I'm a recovering CMO. So usually it has to do with kind of the high level strategy and the positioning and how do we tell our story and how do we find our voice. And, I've started this, I guess, about 4 months ago and have 7 clients. And a lot of them are people I've worked with in the past, and they know that I can help move that to the next level. And so it's been a ton of fun and I absolutely love it.
What are some of the common things? So stories and voice, any kind of executional pieces, like can you take what you learned from the blog and apply it to your clients?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it tells you the power of social media. It tells you how you should treat people. You know, for example, if you're pitching a media person, you probably should have read what they do. I can't tell you how many times I get coffee and food and bands and things that just aren't, you know, food and wine, yes. But, you know, if you have a new lemonade product, I'm probably not your girl.
Yeah, unless there's alcohol in it, right? So on your blog, what did you get some resistance on, you know, when you started it, and what did you have to learn when you did that? Because, I mean, you built it many years ago. Have you refreshed it, or?
I'm in process of doing that now. Okay. You know, it's kind of like the shoemaker's kids have no shoes. You look up and you're like, oh my gosh, it's been 7 years. It's time to do some different things. I've tried a lot of things. You know, I tried video, for example, and I just didn't have the right equipment to go out and to do that. So I focused more on the storytelling. You know, I've branched out. I'm now on Instagram as Dallas Winechick. I'm now on Facebook as Dallas Winechick and Twitter, of course. And, you know, I think that I need, you know, as to know as a blogger, kind of what's coming next, how to make sure that I understand all of the SEO and what Google's doing. And so it's always an evolution, and it's always making sure that your reader can get to you in a compelling way.
I know there's an app, like you can take a picture of a wine label. Yes. And it tells you, I guess,
there's a million apps. You're probably thinking of the Vivino, V-I-V-I-N-O, which I personally do prefer myself.
Okay.
You know, I have a blog that has everything that I drank. I have notebooks that has everything that I've had. So it's not something else that I add to my toolkit, but it's great for the consumer.
Okay. So you're not going to build an app?
No.
I don't know.
No. Let's say Vivino three times. Vivino, Vivino, Vivino.
Okay. We'll post that. Like, I've seen people using it in the store, but I don't have it on my phone.
It's cool.
Okay.
It helps you to capture what you had and what you liked. And so you can start to figure out, okay, I like this region. I like this grape. And it's a good repository for people to figure that out, because people don't remember. Like, I had this at dinner and I loved it. It was great. I don't remember what it was.
Well, I saw somebody doing it at the store. Like,
yep,
they would take pictures and I guess they would look up the data on it.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
Because I'm always asking, you know, the person there, hey, I'm having this for dinner. What do I need?
Yep.
Because I don't know. How do you market the blog? You do this all by yourself? Or,
I do.
All right. The figures. And then, like, what's the hardest part about marketing your own blog? Like, were you really interested in getting a lot of traffic, or did you just want to get the words down and see what happened? Or did you have any goals?
You know, my goal was pretty simple: to put it out there, to see if people were reading it, to evaluate it and see if it actually filled some sort of a need. And based on the traffic growth and, you know, this ranking obviously was huge. I was shocked because some of the best bloggers in the world are up there. And somehow I got to be 67.
67. So do you know anybody that's 1 through 66?
I do.
All right.
And very well.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
And do you read what they post?
I do.
Okay. That's got to be a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff.
All right.
And, you know, but you have channels, you know, you have your social channels where you see it and you're a part of it. And as a blogger, I think it's your right and responsibility to comment on other people's blogs.
Yeah, that's big. Do you guest post anywhere? Like,
I'm sure before.
There, yeah, okay.
I just did one on grape experiences last week because college football season just started. And so she did a woman roundup of what wine represents your team. And so I actually did it right before the LSU-Auburn game.
And you're
I'm Auburn, War
Auburn
Eagle.
Fan. Okay.
And
so what wine goes with Auburn?
I chose Merlot.
Okay. Oh, I was thinking more specific.
No. So it was actually you were to choose a grape.
Why Merlot for Auburn?
You know, Auburn can be a little subtle. It can be a little gentle, but then I can come in with a big punch at the end, and that's what we did against LSU.
All right, cool. Yeah, that was a crazy play.
I was there. It was so great.
I can't imagine having the extreme lows and then the extreme highs, you know, a couple minutes apart. So with the blog and anything, would you have done anything differently? If somebody's listening and they're like, hey, I'm totally going to get a blog and, you know, they're looking for things to learn, what would you do differently?
Gosh. I think I probably would have done a little more reading about creating it and how to engage and what to do. I mean, I just sort of did it and threw it out there and kind of hoped for the best. And, you know, I probably would market it a little bit more. I know how to do that, but I haven't.
And that costs money.
Yeah.
You know, so
exactly.
If it's a hobby, you know, if you're a golfer, you spend money on tee times. You don't spend money on building your blog.
So. Exactly. Exactly. So it's, you know, it's interesting. And as the fan base and the readers have grown, you know, you get your detractors and, you know, your haters and all that, which is interesting as, you know, you're talking about wine, right?
Yeah.
So.
If somebody is listening and they have this job that, you know, it's not their passion, right? They're not a wine blogger or they're not a musician and they have these interests, but are outside of work and they still have families and stuff, right? We only have 24 hours in the day. What would you tell them? Did your life change outside of the travel? Like maybe your attitude or, you know, you're following a passion and you're telling everybody about it, which is much easier to do today, right? Because everybody can be a publisher. So like, what would you tell people? Like, don't do it, do it. Like,
I would say if you're passionate enough about it that it's something that you want to do after work, nights, weekends, holidays, if it's something that eases your stress load or your workload and it makes you happy to do it, absolutely do it. If it would just be something else on your checklist and, you know, it would not be fun for you, don't do it.
Yeah, anything that's not fun, you're going to stop doing.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the blog is all about momentum. You have to continue. You know, I think in 7 years, I've missed 2 weeks and I post once a week. And, you know, that people expect that from you.
Yeah.
You know, your readers, you've made a commitment to them that you're going to put stories out there. And sometimes the stories are great and sometimes they take hours to tell. You know, like, for example, I just made a wine with my label on it. Mitch Costantino is the winemaker and Scotto Family Cellars actually chose 4 bloggers to make this wine. And, you know, you can bet that, and that's also, that story's on my blog as well, but you can bet that the stories that I told around that were incredibly well researched. And I was going to say everything the right way, you know, from the vineyard where it came from to the region where it was to the process that we followed, that was going to be spot on.
Yeah, you have to, right? Because, yes. You know, now you're an authority. You're number 67. So you had to have a well-researched, and because people will fact-check you.
Of course, and they should.
And yeah, they should.
And they'll put just look at the political campaign. They should.
Yeah, they'll comment on your blog, and they won't be scared. So how do people contact you? What's your... You mentioned that you got Instagram, Facebook, website, Twitter. What's your favorite?
You know, I started with Twitter, so that's near and dear to my heart. And I can pretty much say that I've responded to any tweet that I've ever gotten.
Okay. And your Twitter handle is?
It's at Dallas Feinchick.
Okay. All right. And then if you weren't working and you weren't doing the blog... You know, I always ask people what they would do in their spare time, but you're already doing it. If you weren't doing the blog and you didn't have to work, what else would you do with your time?
I think I would travel the world and just take myself out of my life, everyday experience and see what it's like for somebody else.
Any certain region, country?
You know, I'd love to go to Vietnam. I'd love to go to Croatia. Those are the two are the next on my bucket list.
Interesting choices.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vietnam I get. Croatia, it's further down on my list.
Well, there's some amazing, there's some wine regions there that I'm really curious about as well. So yeah. I may have stacked the question, Scott.
Yeah. Well, perfect, perfect. Any closing thoughts as we shut down?
I think I would just say, you know, follow your passion. If it's something that you really want to do, find a way to do it because it will make you happy. But it has to be something that you're willing to commit to because it can take a lot of hours a week. And it can, you know, at sometimes you might roll your eyes and say, oh, I've got to do this. But the means is definitely worth the end, which is so much fun.
All right. Well, cool. Well, thanks a lot, Melanie, for sitting in on the podcast this week. And good luck with the wine blog.
Thank you so much.
Hi, and thanks for listening. This is Scott King, where it is my goal to inform you how smart marketers build their brands and grow their businesses. Please subscribe to the podcast series at thescottking.com or follow me on Twitter at @thescottking to grab the next link. If you like what you heard today, please go to iTunes and write a review. Always appreciate that. Thanks, and be sure and visit again.